disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. 7 o'clock on the 10th day of February, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Now, I got a scripture. I walked down the steps today. Maybe I wasn't quite down the steps on the way into my multi-million dollar studio here. And I spoke about it last week. And it says that the wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. And so I want you to think about that a second. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Just take a minute and think about that. Think about who we exalt in our culture, in our society. Even take it out of government. Government, for heaven's sakes, that's a whole nother story. But see, what happens when evil men walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted, because vile men have no standard by which they stand. If foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And see, there's two ways. That's Psalm 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That question can be asked two ways. Does that question say, well, boy, the foundations are destroyed, what can we do? Or does it say, the foundations be destroyed, what can we do? It's a matter of where you put the emphasis, isn't it? So it's very, very clear that the foundations have been destroyed. By the way, Spencer, man, you're going to get an A+ there. You are on it. Foundations are destroyed. Hey, guys, I'm sorry. The foundations have been destroyed in America. And I don't want to come on here and be repetitive. My sweet little wife said as I was walking down the escalator. Yeah, we put an escalator in our multi-million dollar studio here. As I was making my way down the escalator, she said, you're not going to continue to beat up on the pastors, are you, this morning? I said, I didn't want to do it yesterday. It's not what it's about. It's a leadership issue. We're so hungry and striving for leadership. Because why? The wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. What are we going to do about it? And I don't want to call this a huddle. Every day we come in and we just point out more warts. That gets frustrating after a while. I'm a football coach. If a play isn't working right, I try to fix it. I don't go out and continue to run the same play. Or I think I've shared with you several times that at halftime of a football game, if they're running off tackle, and I walk into the locker room and I gather our coaches together, I say, what's going on? And then they'll say the obvious, well, coach, they're running off tackle. Or today they would say, well, coach, evil's walking on every side. I'd say, hell, I know that. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? They're running off tackle, coach. Yeah, no. What are we going to do about it? Let's make them do something else. Let's make them run the sweep. Let's make them run a trap. But I'll be daggone if I'm going to continue to coach and have them keep running off tackle. We know they're going to do it. Let's stop it. I'm not mad. It just seems like it. And I don't want to come in here every day and say, look, boy, Randy, they're running off tackle. And Randy says, yep, coach, you sure are right. They're running off tackle. They've been running off tackle for 20 years. Yeah, well, come on. Well, coach, we can't worry about because the game's about over. I don't want to live like that. And I think that one of the lessons that I've learned, I spoke about on last night when I was on when John and I were on with Doug, is everything is, the Lord's moving everything back, moving it all back local. Back local. I was thinking specifically about the whole mask mandate. If Joe Biden or Donald Trump or I don't care whoever, Fauci says everybody has to wear a mask. And we know we don't have to wear masks. Why do we wear masks? Why locally don't we begin to move and do things to push back against what we know is not true? They don't have I don't want to get stuck on masks either this morning. You with me? We have vile men. Vile men are exalted in this nation. Vile men. And for too long, we've just kind of rolled over and turned the other way and shielded our children's eyes. And I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl, from what I understand, somebody told me it was Miley Cyrus. I must have been drunk. It wasn't Miley Cyrus. But the very opening of the Super Bowl halftime show, which I did not see, I saw the replay of it, started with Satan descending. Did you guys see that? It opened up with the image. It wasn't Satan, but it was a fallen angel. It was a fallen angel dropping out of the sky. They are doing demonic, satanic ritual stuff right on the halftime of the Super Bowl. And we don't see it. Or if we do see it, we don't
see it. Just like in Hollywood.
There's the picture. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
Just like in Hollywood. It's all scripted and it's all demonic.
That's right, because the kings of this world are conspiring, right? So on your screen right now, Spencer, I'm telling you, you're going to get promoted. Because right there it is, folks. I don't know if you saw the Super Bowl halftime show. That's how it opened. With this fallen, whatever this thing is, descending out of heaven and falls. And then the next scene you see, the bright light opens and clearly Lucifer's emerging out. It's unbelievable. And so we get overwhelmed by this stuff. And everything has become so, corporatized, that entertainment's corporatized, religion's corporatized, big business running. What are we going to do locally? Yeah, Larry.
You know, from my years in construction and everything and living here on the coast, there's this time when after storms or whatever, it's not time to repair what got damaged. It's time to replace it.
Amen.
And repairing our government the time to do that is past. We have got to do like the Declaration of Independence did, and we have got to replace it. Now, we can replace it with something very, very, very much like, in fact, I'd take the whole Constitution just about and slap it right down there and replace it. But restoring liberty's foundation is the slogan of a really good group. And I think that's a good slogan. But it's time to start replacing stuff, not trying to fix stuff.
What has to be done, I agree with that, Larry, but it has to be done locally. Locally. Thank God.
That's where it has to start. Yeah, absolutely. And so, at the foundation.
And until we understand our enemies and what they're doing and how much they've infiltrated, to think that we are going to move this mountain from the top is a pretty foolish position to have ourselves in. I got several things I want to cover this morning. I got some great. I'm looking on my screen here. Pardon me a second, guys. I got some great stuff really I want to cover. But I know when there's an anointing on me, and when I came walking down the steps this morning, that the usual anointing wasn't on me because somebody out here has it today. Somebody has that anointing. Somebody today, before the show began, somebody said, "Boy, I hope I get a chance to say this because the Lord kept me awake last night." And blah, blah, blah. So I'm just going to open this up now and say, "Who is that? Who is that guy that the Lord cemented?" Coach, I gotta bring this up. So it's Silver Europe. I don't know if you're the guy, Silver, but your hands up. So go ahead. So whoever that guy is, whoever that person is. It's an open door to walk on in. Come on in, Silver.
Okay. Jeff, could you pull that scripture back up, please? That we just had, the last one.
Spencer.
I'll get it right one of these days.
That's all right. I don't get it right, Joe.
If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Rebuild the foundations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. As Jerusalem was destroyed, and they had to rebuild Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Okay, leaving Babylon. Okay.
Jeremiah 1, bring that up. Keep going, Joe. Jeremiah 1.
I understand it has to be local, but if you want to look at it this way, I would say that the United States is local.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All the way around it. Okay, and then we have to rebuild from inside and stop this madness that's going on and get back to the Lord and do his will.
Well, it's clear, Joseph, that Joe, that the people that we've, the vile men that we've exalted aren't getting the job done.
Exactly.
And we would be foolish to think that those vile men are going to all of a sudden have a come to Jesus moment and all of a sudden start doing great things. That's not going to happen. They're deeply, deeply entrenched.
Well, I feel that they are trying to please everyone, and whoever has the most money gets the most pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they've forgotten who God is and what He can do.
Jeremiah 1:10 says, "See, I've set thee." Say, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Somebody told me a long time ago that reconstruction is more difficult than new construction.
Correct.
Because new construction, you just go in, you clear an area, and you start putting the four corners in it, and you start building. But when you do reconstruction, there is a, what does it say here? There's a rooting out, and a pulling down, and a destroying, and a throwing down, before you can get to the process of actually rebuilding. So Jeremiah lays that out for us very, very clearly here. What does he say? Set you over the nations to do what? To root it out. To pull. See, that's reconstruction, right? To tear down those old things, get that out of the way, tear this down, pull that down, destroy this, throw this down, then what? Then to build and then to plant. And so until we realize that the old foundations have been destroyed, and we want to go back and rebuild those foundations, what Joe was just saying is we can't rebuild them until we pull some things out. We've got to tear some stuff up. Am I amening you okay there, Joe? Did you want to finish that?
It's just a matter of understanding. I mean, some of the things that were said yesterday when you were on Hagman was it has to be local. And everybody has to know the end goal. I mean, we can't have a bunch of local things just trying to do whatever and not see what the end goal is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have to work together. We have to operate on the same plan.
That's right. I got a lot of you in the queue here. Bear with me just a second. Because one of the points that I made last night on the Hagman with Doug and John. John's in here this morning too. John, I want you to come in here. One of the points that I made last night about all this being local, what if in our local communities, what if in your local community, right where you lived, Jeff Klein in Mount Vernon and Randy out there in Oklahoma and Jim, wherever you're living, and Joe and Rochelle, what if you started a little secret movement saying, hey, listen, we're going to create a sanctuary city for the protection of the Second Amendment. We're going to get involved. We're going to get our local city council, our local county commissioners. We're going to get a group together, and we're going to begin to put pressure on them that in our county, the Second Amendment will never be abridged. Or say, listen, why don't we do this? No mandatory vaccinations being done in our local community, whether it be our county, whether it be our city, to once again, from the bottom up, that's where you start the reconstruction, the bottom up. What if you went to your local city council or wherever you were, wherever you operate, and you said, you know what, from this point forward, we're going to pass legislation, whatever, and we're going to say no abortions in this community. It's against the law to commit. It's a sanctuary city for preborn children. Now, they'll laugh at you. They'll say, well, there is an abortion clinic here already. Why would you even bring that up? Well, because we've got to be smart enough that at some point somebody's going to try to put one in. And once they try to put one in, then we have to try to, then we got to tear down, root out, build, right? So some of these little simple things that we could do that could really begin to impact our communities, that's how the left did it. It's exactly how they did it. So rather than us going and pounding on our congressman's door, it's obviously he ain't going to do anything. foundations will be destroyed. Let's start working on them here locally. Come on in, Dale, and then John Diamond.
I'm sorry, Coach. I was just bringing my coffee to the table.
Yeah, I didn't give you any warning. I know. That was awful. That's all right.
Hey, brother, listen. Ari's ready in season and out of season. Here's the unique thing, and I'm not going to get into all the details, but I'm doing a house renovation. Brother, I'm doing a house. I've been doing this for over 20 years. I'm doing a house. I've never seen anything like this house in my entire life. It was so rat infested. And the problem is, it's not only about tearing down, is I had to put this bid out there, but then there was called the hidden costs. The customer's like, what's the hidden cost? I said, first off, we got to drive out all these rats. We got to fumigate the place. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen when I start opening up walls. And I just do a parallel of what Donald Trump had to do up with DC, brother. When he went in there, the rats were so bad. And the deeper he got into this thing, the worse it was. The deeper I got into this job, the worse it was. There was great. In Jeremiah chapter one, I'm going to flip there. I brought my Bible over there and I'm going to Jeremiah chapter one, because this is what I preached on this past Sunday, was Jeremiah chapter one. Pretty unique. But not only does he say root up and pluck down, but it says this, if you continue after verse 12, it's, you know, to our verse 10, it says to destroy, to even to overthrow, and then to build and then to plant. The second, it says, the word of the Lord came to me a second time. What do you see, Jeremiah? He says, I see a rod of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I, the Lord, I am watching over my word to perform it. Who does it perform? Who does he perform it through? He performs it through us, Coach.
We're that's that appeal to heaven. See, that's that appeal to heaven that John Diamond's talking about, right? I didn't mean to cut you off there, Dale.
No, brother, I'm just telling you, this is what it is. It's not just about when you get into this, you will find out. I agree, brother. Let me tell you what, I was sitting at dinner with my wife last week and I told her, I said, it's all corrupt. What you're saying right now, brother, it grieves me, because every aspect and area of our entire government system is completely corrupt, period, across the board.
And Dale, we got some guy in Washington, D.C. Hey, Jeff out there in Fallon, how far is it to Washington, D.C. from Fallon, Nevada? Do you have any idea, Jeff?
It's about 4,000 miles.
We got some guy in Washington, D.C. mandating you 4,000 miles away wear a mask. What? Where the hell did that power come from, right? So it'd be like la 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 la, be out there on 4,000 miles away from la 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 la. Nah, make me do it. That ought to be our attitude, right, Jeff? Instead, we immediately comply. Some guy in Washington. Okay, I'm on delay. Oh, it gets it. So John Diamond, John, you did a great job last night. Although I ran my chops, my wife beat up on me, said I ran my chops too much last night. But I was trying, because we had such short time, I was trying to help you make your point, because I knew what your point was. Come on in, John.
God bless. No, absolutely. Yep. Coach, I'm telling you what, like I said, you just set me up. You set me up with a softball, you know, like we used to talk. Give them a can of corn. That's what you did every time. You gave me a can of corn just to launch on it. And like I said, we played real good off of each other anyway. Exactly. So this is what we've been talking about. This is what we're doing in our community. I have a meeting at my church with a lot of other local churches called America Must Stand. I'm bringing in a guy from Orlando who's a community organizer, and Jason Yates from My Faith Votes. We're having a conference call this afternoon, as a matter of fact, a three-way conference call. Jeff is coming in Friday night. A bunch of churches in my area are coming together. And this is the thing that we talked about in the previous meeting a couple weeks ago. We need to take over every aspect of city government. And it's pretty easy to do here, just because there's only like 6,000 people in our town. So we're big enough to have a city council, a mayor, a police force, a school, and everything else. But we need to make sure we root out anybody who is not born again. And I'm not saying anything against people. I mean, there's good people out there, but if they're not born again, they're spiritually blind. And then you got the blind leading the blind. And then you just got flat out evil people in office trying to push Antichrist agenda. So the two things that we're going to try to do here is basically take over everything: school board, city government, mayor, But what we're going to do is set up a sanctuary city immediately if we got enough people on the board and in the mayor's office to do that now, to say all the COVID restrictions are lifted in Corey. There will be no social distancing. There will be no masks in our schools. There will be no masks in the Walmart, you know, and it's freedom, because the power is inherent in the people, and the people need to understand. We got to get it backwards, because even the people don't understand, and the representatives don't understand. They work for us. They are a civil servant. A servant does what the master says. The master is we, the people. So when you get elected to a position, you are not being elevated to a leader or a ruler. You are being demoted to a servant. And you need to understand that. That's why we need to elect Christians, because Jesus said that the lords of this world lord over their people, but it shall not be with you, but you will be servants. That's talking about government. That's not talking about teaching in Sunday school or being an usher. That whole context of that scripture is talking about government. He's saying when you become leaders, political leaders, you will serve your people that elected you. You will not be their lords and their rulers. So we need to change the Christian minds to help them understand who your representative and who your civil servant is. But we need to be rebuking these people who think that somehow we made them God.
Which, by the way, John, I want to make a connection here as well. Craig Mickle, coming right to you, Craig, and then Joe Allen, then Jack. I just want to make a connection. It happened in the church first. You all would agree with me pretty much, wouldn't you, that there's very little liberty and free speech in your church, in your local church, and that the guy who's standing in the pulpit, he became boss. He didn't become servant.
Right.
So it all ties together, because I always believe that the old scriptures are first above, then below. Right. So I believe that everything we're seeing happening in the world happened in the church first, or was permitted in the church first. And that's why we're having such a hard time raising up its standards. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, would you agree with me that the enemy's coming in like a flood? I think the enemy's come in like a flood. And what does the word say? Lord himself would raise up a standard against it. Well, who's the standard? It's you and me and small communities. That's why we have to turn our focus back there. Come on in, Craig.
Well, Coach, I think it kind of goes to what we were talking about the other day. And it's the perception for people, all people, to understand where you are in the game. When you looked at the clock as a coach and you saw less than 2 minutes, it the game plan, if you were.
That's right, buddy. It changed.
It changed your game plan. Okay. Yeah. So you perceived the moment, if you will. And the church is the backstop. Like, the Supreme Court was supposed to be the backstop to this election fraud, and they defaulted, and they didn't hear the case. And of course, here we are. And we're referencing Jeremiah. And what we need to understand is Jeremiah was doing this before they got totally overthrown and taken away into captivity. And this, we need to understand one of the aspects, the fundamental part of the Bible, it's about blessings and it's about curses. Mm-hmm. And every time you go read it, see how many times it's mentioned in there. We are walking away from the providence of God's hand over this country because we're relying on what our fathers did.
Craig, you will never convince me that God himself, God Almighty, does not want, God wants his church, his people, to be the moral authority. That's the way that he set it up, folks.
Coach. We're supposed to be the witness. We are supposed to be the witness to the people, so the people see that who God is. Okay? That's how they see God. They don't read the Bible and see God. They see the church as God. And when the church is a false image of God, one thing that we really need to, people need to understand, even if they're not Christians, you can provoke God. Okay. You can provoke him to come after you and this country. And so if you want your food, if you want your job, if you want peace, you better understand when you provoke him, what you're taking away. And it's not right or wrong, Coach. It's good and evil. What happened at the Super Bowl is evil.
It is. Evil. Now listen, folks, do we expect Disney to not do evil? Who's the restrainer to Disney? Who is the restrainer? I'm going to give Spencer a penny a minute. No, no, a penny an hour raise. He's all over it. Isaiah 59:18. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries. What? The Lord has adversaries? Recompense to his enemies. The Lord has enemies? To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. See, that we are looking for government to handle morality when it's the job of the church. It's a misplaced authority, see. And so what happens to us, because the church has been told, we've been told that there's a separation between the church and state, and the church isn't supposed to be involved in politics. The morality's been pulled back. The morality's over here, and the government's over here, and the government's making all these rules, and those of us who are supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world and the moral standard, we won't take that moral standard here. That's what we have to do. We have to take it here. If these guys here in our local community, they won't enforce it, run Jeff Klein. Get Jeff Klein in there then. Change those people. We can change locally. But see, it's a mindset, isn't it? It's a mindset in the church. And a lot of Christians will respond and say, golly, I don't want a theocracy. Well, you got one. You got the devil in charge. You got a theocracy. What are you talking about? So there's a lot of education that needs to go on. But the moral business, folks, that's church business. That ain't government business. And we've let the standard slide. Come on in, Joseph.
Hey, Coach, one more thing.
Oh, yeah, Craig.
Just one more thing. If you get a chance to go to a politician or ask them when they say God bless America, they always put that in as a punchline.
Yeah.
Walk up and ask them and say, according to the Bible, why should God bless America? Mm-hmm. Explain to me. You provide the case to me. We teach homosexuality. We kill kids. We don't even acknowledge him in our public realm.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me why he should do that. Explain to me, because they don't really have a case, do they?
No, they don't. But we don't challenge them on it. And again, remember, they never forced the churches to close. The churches closed on their own. Joseph, are you in there, Joseph? Did you want to come in?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, bud.
Coach, I worked for the federal government since I was 17.
Stone him! No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
But all the jobs I've ever had, I try to make things simple. The hardest thing that you can make, you try to make simple. Just like when Mark and I worked in your garage, we wanted one light switch to turn on everything.
Simple.
Simple. You know. And my thing is term limits. Mm. How do we encourage term limits to stop all this corruption that we see in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
in our local areas? Term limits.
I think, Joseph, I think that's a worthy and noble long-term goal. I do. And we need to begin working on it now. But that's going to be a process. It's probably going to take a while to make that happen. And in the meantime, we need to be putting out these little brush fires all around us, I think.
Get rid of these crying congressmen.
Yeah, this should never be a profession. Should never be a lifelong profession. Couldn't agree more. Come on in. Let's go to Jack, and then we'll go to Clay. Go ahead, Jack. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Coach. Yes, good morning.
Jack. Jack, I got real money. I got some real money here. Go ahead.
Oh, good. I want to buy some stuff, man. Hey, what John Diamond was talking about earlier was Cooper versus Aaron, where the Supreme Court ruled that the elected officials are mere agents of the people. We got to remember that they're mere agents. The other thing is we foundationally use the wrong terminology, because we are not a nation. We are a union of sovereign states. And when we forget that, when we use the wrong words, we add to the confusion. As you were talking earlier.
That's how the foundation gets destroyed, Jack.
Right. The top down is wrong, because the foundation, we are the grantors of the power to the federal government. It's the 10th Amendment covers most of that, but we just ignore that stuff. And we want, like, for instance, you were just talking about term limits. Well, that's the hook that Convention of States people want to make a law to make people obey the laws that they're already disobeying. Guess what? That's not going to work. So we got to get back to the foundational thing. Make your town constitutional, make your state constitutional, and then the federal will follow because it has no choice.
Yeah.
But we want to do it the other way around because it takes the pressure off of me, because I don't want to actually put my foot in it.
Okay, folks, remember this. They called it the Long March Through the Institutions. Do you remember that? That's how the left overthrew America, the Long March Through the Institutions. In other words, it took them a while. It took them a while to do it. And so we're foolish if we think that we're going to change America in an election or two elections. It's a long march through the institutions. And we ought to all take a good hard look at even our local school boards, our local school boards and the stuff that they're teaching our children. And I'm going to tell you, if you were to run for school board, here's the way it is right now. When you run for public school board, all you do is get to approve top-down edicts. In other words, the Department of Education tells everybody what they have to teach, and then the school board, they get to fire a football coach, hire a band director. But other than that, most of this stuff is top-down. And at some point, we need our school boards to stand up and say, sorry, we ain't doing that. No, that transgender stuff, sorry, not in our community. We're not going to do that. And that's the only way through that type of resistance that we're going to ever really be able to push back against this stuff. Clay, come on in, then Paul Webb, then Larry.
That was a great Hangman report last night, y'all. And
thanks, Clay.
Switching a gear a little bit, he asked John Diamond last night to tell him about Appeal to Heaven, what that's all about. And one of the things that he mentioned, John said, imprecatory prayer. And one of the big things that I think we can do against this evil is to learn how to pray against the evil.
Yeah.
When we went to Washington and Bill Barr's house and stuff like that, you know, I had the opportunity to pray for at Biden's house, but it doesn't come to me as natural as it comes to others. So when we went to Bill Barr's house, I was amazed at how Randy had prayed. Mm-hmm. So I wish I could learn how to do that, like, as easily as he does and some others, like Alan Cipher. Last night after John Diamond mentioned about the imprecatory prayers, I opened my Bible back up and went to the psalm that you assigned me to, 69. And I got to looking and reading. And you know how people will say we need to pray for them? We need to pray for their soul. We need to pray for them, pray for God to help them. Well, when you read Psalm 69, the first thing that he did was prayed against them.
So
get them off of the crew.
So Clay, just sit there a minute. Hey, Silver, read Psalm 69 for us here, bud, if you can. Get those dulcet tones out there for us. It's up on the screen. Hold your thought there, Clay.
You want the whole thing?
Is it long? Well, get going, brother. We're wasting time.
Yes, sir. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me.
Anybody feel like that? Go ahead.
I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God.
Amen.
They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head.
Wow.
They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel.
Amen.
Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. Mm. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen unto me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gates speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink.
Amen.
Be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me.
Wow, what a picture.
Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I am looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me gall for my meat.
Yes, they did.
And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap.
Yes, get them, Lord.
Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake.
Get them, Lord.
Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them.
Sick them, Lord.
Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents.
Hallelujah. Go get them, Lord.
For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Mm. Add iniquity unto their iniquity.
Yeah, double portion
and
of
let
iniquity.
Let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living.
Yes, sir.
And not be written with the righteous.
Come on, baby.
But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. Mm. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs.
Amen, baby.
The humble shall see this and be glad.
You know.
Your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despises not his prisoners. Let the heaven and the earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession.
Hallelujah!
Thy seed also of his servants shall inherit it.
Yes!
And they that love his name shall dwell therein.
How about that? What do you think of that, Clay?
Well, I tell you what I think, Coach. I got to thinking. Boy, for one, I didn't hear him praying for their. You know, the first thing he did was he prayed against them. And now once he gets them out of the way and he's not destroying Christians and hurting people, then we might pray for their soul. But first we got to get them out of the way.
Got to stop them. And then, that's right.
And then the other thing I'm thinking is maybe we're making a mistake when we teach our little children when they're very small to say, you know, the same prayer, God is great, God is good, or let me lay me down to sleep and all this, because God wants to hear us speak to him. He don't want to hear a broken record. Mm. And we need to think about what we're saying to him and come up and not just have a repetitious prayer, but a conversation with God and tell him what we want.
Amen, Clay. Amen. Amen. Joe, you busting got something to say there?
Exactly. Prayer is communication with God.
Yes, sir.
Our Father who art in heaven, that prayer, all of us ex-Catholics have prayed all of our lives, is not a prayer. It is a guide as to how to pray.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen, Silver. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Vain repetition. Who did I say would be up left? I say Larry, and then Paul, then Myra, then Trump. Go ahead, Larry. Just your hands up. I didn't know if you want to speak.
Yeah. You know, somebody mentioned term limits a while back, and term limits have to start at the local level. Our state representatives are never going to accept and impose term limits on themselves unless our city and county people do it first and show the example, and the people demand that the higher levels do it. It's not going to happen from the top down. They did it. The Congress did it on the president, but that was Congress doing it, not us.
Yeah, that's right. They're not going to limit themselves. Come on in, Paul.
Hey, I just this is great stuff. I almost forgot what I was going to say because listening to all the great information.
Yeah.
But a couple things here. What we have to realize is the communist, and this is what we are, we're under communism right now, is there's a term called dialectics.
Yes.
And what that means is they're willing to take, like they'll take three steps ahead, go two steps back, but they keep going ahead. In other words, they get defeated, they keep coming back. I think what happens a lot of times with us is we lose one time, we say, oh, it's not going to work, we don't go back.
That's right.
And we got to keep hammering, because that's how they did it. And number two is locally, we have to be willing to find people that are going to support with money, because a lot of cities and a lot of these places, you got money people that are supporting these evil candidates. And unfortunately, it's going to take that to get a lot of people elected. So that's what we have to prepare for as well. I mean, not a lot of my thought.
It's social media time, baby. I don't think it takes as much money to win anymore as it used to, because we have social media and the ability to communicate with each other. Come on in, Myra, then Mark Trump. Come on, Myra. Yes.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. I just have a word of encouragement to the saints in the huddle. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Thank you, Coach.
Simple, huh, Myra? It's so simple. Why are we expecting Donald Trump to do what our pastors won't do?
Amen.
Go ahead, Mark.
Go back to Proverbs, if you could, Spencer. That one you just had, 69. I want to talk about sackcloth. So this is what he did. We're always looking for something to do, guys. If you read down, it talks about him bearing a sackcloth. Let's see where that's at.
It was towards the end.
I made a sackcloth, also my garment, and became a proverb to them.
Mm.
So y'all want to know what to do? What kind of sackcloths are y'all wearing? What kind of shoes are you buying? Do you have a standard of your living that is not represented right there? Coach, you know who came to mind? You know who was a living proverb who wore his testimony?
Ron Brock.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Yes, sir. So his testimony became a proverb to them. Good point there, man. Bobby Lee, then Lou Ann, then RJ, then Roger. Go ahead, Bobby.
We've been getting beat up for decades. Listen, one of my phrases is when I'm teaching people, you can't punch
and be punched at the same time. We have to punch, disrupt it, and then we start stepping forward and taking ground back. As Christians, that's what we got to do in this arena that we're fighting in.
That's right. Amen. We need pushback. We need some pushback. We have no pushback. And as somebody said earlier, if we do get pushed back, we quit. They redouble, regroup, and come back at us. We go home, suck our thumb, and we quit. Who did I say? Luann next, then RJ and Roger. Go ahead, Luann.
All right, I'm here. Anyway, what keeps coming to mind while we're speaking, you know, is while we're out pastoring, while we're out ministering to people, we come across people who we know are possessed, just as Jesus did when he walked on from Damascus, came across the two that were mentally ill or whatever, possessed with the demons, and to cast them out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we don't do that. We just pass them by.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of church people do.
Right. But
anyway, there's still a lot of sick and dying people out there. And the more that we do what God wants us to do, the more he'll bless this land.
Amen. I say this, Luann, you can do both. You can be prophetic and merciful. You can do both. Bless you. Come on in. Let's get RJ in here. I want to try to get everybody in. Come on in, RJ, then Roger.
Yeah, Coach. Hey, I'm just looking at, thinking what you said in the very beginning. Right here, we're seeing and we're hearing the solution. I'm looking at all the folks in this chat room right now. By the way, there's another Marine who just joined, I believe, up Randy's way here in Oklahoma.
Good.
And the solution that I'm seeing and hearing is it's just like you said, it's local. It's each one of us knowing who we are in Christ and stepping out, just like Mike Heath up in Maine is going, he's running for governor.
Mm-hmm.
Lou, who I believe joined us here, he's got the sheriff over in his county lined out and several other sheriffs. We got the sheriff in Osage County here. He said he declared it at the convention, it's a Second Amendment sanctuary right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's spreading everywhere. All it takes is two or three people. You go by yourself to see the sheriff and say, listen, I'm seeing this. Here's the evidence. This is misprision of treason, by the way, what they're doing, and show them the evidence. And he's got to act on that.
Well, so see, RJ, if we don't have righteous people in authority, they're not going to do it, right? So that's why it's important that we get righteous people in positions of authority.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, it's a long haul in a few places, but they're going to see the county next to them. There's people there doing things. So you know, don't be discouraged. Sometimes you look around, you think, what am I going to do? You know,
yep. Hit somebody.
The Lord will help. The Lord is sending the help. Yeah. That's somebody's right. There.
So, yeah. Amen. Hit somebody. Amen. Thanks, RJ. Come on in, Rog.
I was going to say, we all need to begin scheduling appointments with our local sheriff. It's an easy appointment. And if you don't get the main dog, you'll probably get the assistant sheriff and talk to him about the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
My only comment was, you know, Hitler had basically a demonic, satanic, you know, group of men running Germany in the late 30s. The church let him rise up. The church could have stopped him, but they did not. And so what happens in the early 40s? We have a world war. So we know where this is going. This type of sit back, it does not end well. You know, we have a historical evaluation that tells us it does not end well for the believer.
History shows us that. Folks, I want you to think about this, because this is this has been gnawing at my me for a couple, 3 or 4 days. And as I see our brigades begin to grow, more of them begin to grow. I just had a conversation with Chad yesterday about it. What if we got together and we figured out a game plan and we all did the same thing in our local communities at the same time? Whatever that plan would be.
Amen.
Randy out in Oklahoma, Bobby
exactly.
And Kentucky,
we say,
We say a plan, but see, we have to have the brigades. We have to, and so then we can say, well, look, they're doing it in Maine. When you go to your elected official, they're doing it in Maine. Look right here, they're doing it in Maine. We're not the only ones. This is going on all across America, and that the left does that, and the left creates these things that look like mobs when really all it is a group of people in different cities that are doing the same thing at the same time. And we ought to be smart enough to be able to figure out how to do this and pull these brigades together. And I believe as we begin to do that, more will join. My experience tells me people don't know what to do. They want to do something, but they don't know what to do. Dale, come on in, then Randy.
Well, Coach, I'm going to go back to the root of the issue. It's kind of like a puzzle. Without that one piece, it's not complete. We talk about church. We say church is this problem. Pastors are out of order. But before church government was instituted, we tend to sidestep it. And that is the man in the house, the man in the authority in the home. That thing has been attacked more than anything. We have seen it over the decades. The man has become the buffoon. But when you take the man out of the headship and what we're seeing in the church, most churches are filled with moms and children. Amen. Because the man have said, I'm going to relinquish my family to be taught the word at church and not at home. Therefore, the home structure, what is church? We are the church. The home structure is out of order because the fathers are out of order. They have relinquished the duties to others. And the same thing with the church. When you talked about what Roger was talking about in Germany, what was that? It wasn't just that they didn't do anything. They heard the same cliche our government says to us. Hitler told the church, trust me, I'm not going to bother you. You guys are going to continue to run. And the church went, well, self-preservation, we're in good shape. And the only one who stood up was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and they ran him out of the building. Men need to begin to take position and authority and responsibility in their home. And when they do that, then the church will fall in order. And if the church then would fall in order, then we might have a government that will fall in order.
Amen. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, this is great. I'm so thankful to be part of this, hearing wisdom out of all the people. But I just cannot get away from where we started in Jeremiah 1, Coach. And when he's talking, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And then God says, what do you see? What do you see? Lord, this is what I've got, Coach, and this really hit me hard, and I think this is what we're looking for. I think it's time. He says, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see an almond tree. I see Jesus. That was Jesus. That was the Christ coming. Uh-huh. And he said, Lord said to me, you have seen well. I am ready to perform my word.
Wow.
Coach, I'm telling you, this is time. God is saying right here to us today, I'm ready to perform this thing. And Coach, here's what it is, and I've heard it out of everybody. It's local. It's our groups. It's time for us to take authority in our homes, in our counties, and to go be a force and take the authority to go say, hey, we have the guy right here that he's going to run for sheriff. We have this guy here that's going to be on the board. And it's a group effort. It's not one person doing
right.
It. It's our
that's
group.
Right. That's right.
Coach,
that's right.
This is time. It's Amen. Time. God is saying it's time. Let's do it. We got to hear him.
Amen. So, Jeff Klein, you got to get that church in the garage behind you to promote you so that it's not just you trying to fight the fight by yourself. This isn't hard. Come on. And I really believe as we begin to push back, as the brigades continue to grow, they will continue to grow as we become more visible and more vocal. People are looking for a vehicle to get behind. And as I said, I believe it's God's people who are designed to do it. Joseph Allen, then Craig, come on in.
Coach, I want to talk a little bit about submission. And there's things in life that you see, but you can't unsee them no more.
Yeah.
And I've seen reports where in Afghanistan, where the Afghans, the Taliban, took a child, took the village, set them down at a table, burn the child to death, take the child, put it on the table, made the Afghans eat it, the child. This is submission, what the government's doing. They're trying to submit us to the what their wishes are. I don't want to sit there, I don't want to sit there and eat a dead child.
I ain't wearing no mask. I ain't wearing no mask. Because wearing that mask leads to eating a dead child. I ain't going to do it.
Go ahead, Joseph. You cannot see what you've seen.
Amen.
I know I'm out of order, but it's my one time. I'm asking for a bye.
Okay, come on in, Roger. Bobby.
Yeah. Did you guys see the Massachusetts climate czar say that this is literally about submission? That came out of his mouth a handful of days ago.
Yep, it did. It did. My knee's only going to bow to one guy, folks. That's the way I see it. Come on, Craig.
It's the same thing, Coach. And the thing is we're not going to get the laws to put in righteous people. So the only people we're going to get is the people who are basically ambivalent believers to realize where they are in the game. This is not, Church will say we don't get involved in politics. Okay. This is not politics. This is spiritual. Do you get involved in good and evil? As a church, do you get involved in good and evil? Okay, so if good and evil swings over into politics, and then you go back to what, like Roger said, how did Hitler get into power? Politics. What did the church do? Did not rise up. Look what happened. It's changing the mindset of the ambivalent believers to realize the time that they're in and realize how short it is, and that if we do not unite together, we all are going to receive provoking the punishments of God on this nation. That's why it's important to you. That's why you need to get involved. Because if you don't, you give God no choice but to bring severe judgment on this country, and you're going to suffer part of it. You might get through it, but you are going to suffer, and your children are going to suffer.
Amen.
And that it's a mindset. It's changing their mindset. And once their mind is changed and they understand the spiritual part, that allows God to flow through their spirit.
Ambivalent believer. Did you make that up, Craig? I may write on that today. Ambivalent believer. Roger, did you want to jump in here? Your hand's still up. No, he probably just didn't raise it. Larry's turn. Come on, Larry.
Yeah, man, what's been going on this morning is music to my ears. I mean, you know, for over almost a year now, Folu has been saying, let's work together, not under Folu's master plan. If Folu knows all the answers to do, but Folu wants to help those that do have some answers work with each other. It's as simple as that, as simple as that. And I appreciate what's happening this morning, because I would really hope that we would have a whole lot more people jump together and help us coordinate the good ideas that are out there. It's not that we're trying to force our ideas on people. We're trying to take the good ideas that are out there and coordinate them amongst groups. It's simple as that.
Pretty simple. Unknown, come on in. I'm going to try to get people in there who haven't been in yet. Come on in, Unknown. Your hand's up. Claudine, your hand's up. Come on in, Claudine.
Hey, Coach. I've been listening to you guys for quite some time now, and you know that we've been pretty active in our state level. And in July, I ended up stepping in as a interim selectman in my town, and I got to learn a lot. And then in July, God pulled me into a prayer group of people that I didn't even know, new people in my town. So we've been pretty active for over 40 weeks, every Saturday, coming together and pray and talking about what we can do. So a few weeks ago, God, the Holy Spirit just took over, and I shared with the group, I shared with our prayer group. I said, we need to do something in this town. We're a small town, less than maybe 5,000 people. But we've had about 1,000 people become new residents in our town because of COVID, coming from Massachusetts. And by God, I am so excited. I can't even tell you. Last Saturday was our town deliberative. And I had asked the people in my group to step up. Three of us are now running for positions. And about 10 of them came to the town deliberative just to sit and be a person. And I was told by the people that are there all the time, we're not going to have more than 10 people. Well, we had about 25, and 10 of them were from the prayer group. And then another couple that I had called on about certain articles that they needed to be aware of were there. And they spoke up, and these people spoke up. It rocked the people that were there. It was amazing. And I'm telling you, it just starts with a small group of people. Anybody can do this. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just listening to the Lord, and I'm talking to the people in my town, and things are going to start changing. Just know it.
God bless you, Claudine. God bless you. Hey, quickly, I'm about out of time. Betty, come in real quickly, Betty. Last one for today. Got to unmute yourself there. Hit your little red microphone there. Sort of. Yeah, need get closer to your microphone.
Okay, but anyway, I wanted to say one thing. Praise stands for praise, rejoice, ask, and yield. And how to praise, keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. I just wanted to say that.
Amen, Betty. It was a little hard, but you hear it. But we're hearing you.
Sorry.
No, that's good. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, folks, listen. If it's going to change, the Lord is going to work through people. He's going to work through people. He's going to bless the works of our hands. And we got enough guys in here who are smart enough to figure out this thing and get us a game plan. Let's stop pointing our finger at Washington, D.C., and as James Dobson always said, let's turn our hearts towards home. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.